Not sure who schedules the Sunday speakers, but it's rather serendipitous that I get to speak the first Sunday of the year, because I have something to say, and that's kind of appropriate with that. I do want to tell you, though, I was looking at the future speakers here. I do want to bring the attention that on the 20th, that's in 2 weeks, Ben Ewald is going to be speaking to us, so I encourage you to make sure you come back for that. I do want to kind of do something that we used to do in the past, and I'm going to take opportunity. We used to do what we call the State of the Congregation Address the first part of the year, and we haven't done that in a couple years, but I want to kind of do that. I know that, you know, sometimes every time, in families, when life situation changes, sometimes there's a certain amount of apprehension about what's going to happen, or what do we have to look forward to, or how are things going to change dramatically. And so I want to kind of address that a little bit to you this morning before I get into my so-called New Year message. First, I want to say that God has been challenging us and blessing us in our search for a minister. And I want to thank those that have taken the time in their lives to participate in this exercise. Dee Hathaway, Nelda Gimmel, Monique Vallier, Lois Titus, Vernon Danette Allstott, Ben Ewald, Paul and April Viter, Bruce and Carolyn Tabor, Brent and Amy Clements, Doug Fowler, yes, and Keith and Donna Fowler. That's a family thing. And Lynn Oliver. They've all taken out time of their busy schedules to look at applicants, and on five occasions come and sit with us through a Skype interview to look at these. We've had 14 people apply for the job, and as I just said, we've had five Skype interviews. We do have two that will be coming spending a weekend with us. Mike and Andrea Soto will be here the weekend of February 1st through the 3rd, so make sure that you're in town and are able to participate in the activities to get to know them. And then on February 15th through 17th, Rich and Janet Howell will be here for the same thing. So put these on your calendar and make sure you're here so that you can interact, get to know who they are, meet them, and hear a message from each one of these men. Amen. And I also want to acknowledge some of the men that have taken the opportunity to fill the pulpit while we've been preacherless. We've been without a preacher. Dave spoke last on July 1st, I believe, and we've been preacherless since then. I want to acknowledge Keith and Brent and Bruce, our elders. Also Eddie, who has filled in, Vern, and Paul Viter. And just in speaking of that, if you do have something that's on your heart, men among you, that you would like to present to the congregation, we do have an opening on the last Sunday of this month. So if you could see me, we can plug you in. We do, I think, need some additional engagement, though, on some of our members. You know, we have the coffee on Sunday mornings, coffee and bagels. We have a few families that have taken that on. It is a good opportunity for you to meet people in a relaxed atmosphere and do that. So if you want to take a month of that, most months have four Sundays, and if you pick early, you can pick one that has four Sundays and not five, and see Donna Fowler with that. Also, we could use some teachers in the high school and young adult classes, and some substitutes for the adult classes, too. There's been some grumblings that the guy that's in there now has been there a little bit too long. I'd also like to acknowledge Vern. Vern has been busy in many ways, but one of the things he has done is he has, you know, Dave and Betty lived in the Menlo Park house for quite a number of years, and Betty, with some of her allergies and reactions, we weren't able to go in and do some of the maintenance and upkeep. But since they moved out, Vern has had some people over there and rehabilitating the house, painting and some flooring and some other stuff. I'm not 100% sure what all the stuff that's gone on there. And also, I'm sure all of you have noticed that the building has had some work done on it. We've had a new facelift with the paint. We managed to eradicate some of the termites that have moved in, and we evicted them. Also, we discovered in the process that we had a leaking natural gas line, which we had to have fixed, and that's been repaired. And I understand that we're in the future, we have going to get parking lot repair, and we're also going to have the tile and something else in the women's restroom done here shortly. Also like to acknowledge Megan Allstadt and the class that she has developed for the kids. Linda Oliver is helping her. It's something to engage the young people in the Bible and make them curious about God and how he's impacted creation, done creation, and has evolved in everyday life. I want to acknowledge her in her taking that on. Also, Amy. Amy's done a lot of work. Amy Clements done a lot of work in updating the foyer area and making it more modern looking, and also updating her kids' classroom. I know my, I'm not sure what he is. Gavin is my grandnephew. I'm not sure what he is, but I call him my grandson since I don't have a real grandson. And he always wants, when he comes to church, he wants to go see Miss Amy. So Amy's done a great job in that. I'd also like to acknowledge Gary Chenault and the work he's done with our Christ Hands. Those of you might not have seen it, but we did distribute over $6,000 to the church up in Paradise for the fire there. Also, there's some other ongoing things that Gary is involved in, and in making sure that those of our family that are in need and also some out in the community are being helped as well. And I would also like to acknowledge Donna and her work in keeping the office going. You know, it's Dave. When Dave left a gap, and Donna has kept it going. She's kept the bulletin, and there's some other things that Dave took care of that she's now taken on. I want to acknowledge that. I'd also like to acknowledge every one of you that have continued to give generously to the church here. Our church offering has gone down a little bit since Dave left, but that is to be expected. But it hasn't dropped much, and it's still been very solid. What this has done, though, is it also has enabled us to go out and find a minister, because it is going to be some expense involved in that, bringing them in to for interviews and putting them up. And because of that, we have been able to, as I talked about the rehabilitation of our building here, we've spent a little over $40,000 doing that. We had that in the bank, and also about $8,500 on the Menlo Park House. For those of you that remember, Kevin Wise, when he died back in 2013, he gave the church a donation of $600,000, and we still have $415,000 of that left. So we haven't we're financially in a good spot to be able to continue to meet and do the work here. But it is important, imperative, actually, that each of you pray for our church here every day. I'm sure that you spend some time each day in prayer for your own family. We need you to pray for the family here as well as we go forward, so that we might seek God's plan, excuse me, in all of our lives here. Now, that being said, I want to talk about the New Year's. Is that clock really right? What does it say? I can't tell if it's almost noon or almost 10. Okay, I'm going to ignore it. The one day I forgot my watch. Anyways, I want to talk about New Year's resolutions. Have any of you made New Year's resolutions this year? No, I see a lot of no's. And if not, why not? Well, it's probably because most of the time at the end of the year we find that our New Year's resolutions are not completed. We didn't finish them. We didn't do them. We didn't accomplish them. And if you're like most people, you don't like to look failure in the face. You know, we can fail once in a while, but if we fail multiple times, it's like, I'm done with that. But I wonder sometimes if when we set these goals, we really intend to complete them. Or is it just something we do? You know, but I find in my own existence, life gets in the way, and before we know it, the year is drawing to a close and we've had little, if any, progress at all. Now, the scriptures that that Gavin read for us in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, you know, Paul there talks about our actions, us being spiritually sacrificial with our bodies, making them holy and acceptable to God. And Paul writes, this is our spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The mind, the human mind, is an amazing thing. I was going to say an amazing machine, but it's not a machine. But it is amazing. And we can redirect our lives based on using that which God gave us. And if we don't, as James points out, that if we do nothing, we become like a wave. And the waves, if you've been out, walked along the beach, the waves, if there's no wind or anything, it's kind of flat, and sometimes there's a little swell. But if there's any kind of a wind, it chops the water up, you get white caps, you get all kinds of stirring up there, and it can change the direction of the waves. We don't want our lives to become that way. And James goes on to write about our lives needing not only faith, but works. Meaning we must take actions in our life. If we're not, we're not walking in the light. So I want to talk to you a little bit about change and making changes. There's a writer, a man by the name of John Maxwell. He has a PhD, so that means he's a doctor. And he wrote a book called The Rule of Five. And his premise is that we should do five things consistently towards our goal every day. And as an example, I would give you that if you want to cut down a large tree, how would you do that? Well, if you took an axe, you could cut down a large tree. But you wouldn't be able to cut it down on a single stroke. It would take time. It would take consistency. It would take commitment. And you'd have to do a little bit ongoing. You couldn't take it down in five swings at one day. But if you did five swings at it every day, eventually, you could chop down that tree. Most successful people have a regimen that they follow every day until they realize their goals. So what I want to look at today is, for a few minutes, is how do we do this? First, I would suggest that you determine who you want to be. Unfortunately, I think too many of us spend time thinking about what we want to do and not who we want to be. And this idea about finding who we want to be is important. So who do you want to be at the end of this year? And if we settle the who question, the what question becomes pretty easy. Do you want to be a better spouse? Do you want to be a better kid? Do you want to be a better parent, better son or daughter? Do you want to be better at your business? Maybe you want to be healthier. Maybe you want to be happier. Maybe you want to be debt-free. So with a new goal for your life, secondly, you must identify five things which you should do every day to be the person you aspire to become. And if you're trying to remove a tree, the tool you use is also very important. Because if you go out to cut down the tree with a baseball bat, I don't care how long you work at it, you're not cutting down the tree. The tree would be falling. So what we need to do is we need to select five relevant tasks each day that is important in reaching our goal. Now the first one is going to be a little dicey, because odds are that the biggest hurdle to living with good habits is the smartphone that some of you are looking at right now. No one has taught us how to use smartphones, and how could they? They're barely 10 years old or so. The current generation of people will be the ones who are going to develop ethics for smartphones and the use of new technologies. And there may be some bad ethics, or we might make some good ones. But in any case, rules for healthy technology and technology habits are still being formed and will be forming for a long time. But you should seriously consider daily and weekly habits of limitation on technology. This will probably be one of the most lasting, important points to your health than any weight loss goal. and it will probably have more significant impact on your work than any career goal. I have I've done some reading of research that's been done on the use of technology, and it has been pointed out the way the human brain works and functions is pretty amazing, because as long as you're alive, your brain develops new synapses and things going, and we can change that. And it's been proven that the use of technology does make our thinking more shallow. The second thing we need to do is set habits in a community. Now, community can be different things. It could be your personal family. It could be a group of friends. It could be your church. It could be where you work. But a common, the central claim of this is habits form us more than we form them. You know, we are creatures of habit. I know that my daily tasks are pretty consistent, and if I get out of those, even if it's to go on vacation, it takes some time to get into that. That's why I think they say that in order to have a truly relaxing vacation, you need to spend more than a week, because it takes time to get out of our habits and get into this new situation that we're in. So what you think of as personal habits are actually things that are affecting us from our environment. Relationships are forged in common habits. If you remember the sitcom, or what it was, Cheers, their common habits were what? To go to the Cheers lounge after they got off work, and they talked, and that's how their community developed there. But sometimes the habits we engage in are not beneficial to us. We're all broken, we're all frail, and we struggle to do what we should do every day. And that is why it's hard to keep promises that we make, even to ourselves, which is why we have a hard time keeping our New Year's resolutions. It's hard to stick to our goals. To do anything well, we need each other. And this is why habits and community are both formative and to the community as well as to each one of us. I know that one of the things that Lynn and I had decided to do a number of years ago was we were going to go swim for our health, because it gets our heart rate up, gets our things going, it's good for our continued health. But if I had to do that by myself, it's a struggle, because sometimes we get ready to go and it's really cold. And it's like, if I had to decide myself, I'd say, I'm not going to go. But we look at each other and we say, let's do it. So we go and we complete that. And when we're done, we're happy, but getting involved in it is difficult. That's why it's good to have community involved in our making new habits. So for this year, New Year, stop making resolutions and start making habits. Habits to live by. The third thing is to integrate our habits into our workday. If your habits and goals are not in harmony with your typical workday, then you have a big problem. Maybe the problem is that you need a new job, but it's more likely that you're not thinking about things realistically. Perhaps you're brainstorming about new habits during a downtime or over your vacation. That's great. But you don't spend your whole life on vacation. Your habits have to be developed for what your normal progress is, what your normal habit, what your normal circumstances are. If you're working, if you're engaged in something with family, if you're engaged in life, you have to develop it for that. So that's why you need to develop these habits based on what does your day look like. You know, when we had kids that were young, Lynn's habits, daily rituals, habits were different than they are now. We have to adjust our habits for what our regular schedules are. And we have to make them realistic, because if it conflicts with our daily routine, say if I want to get up and run, how does the rest of my life affected by that? We have to make judgments based on that. So integrate your habits into your workday. The fourth thing is we should dream big. We should have a vision of who we are and who we want to become. I think that's why, you know, one of the things that we've done here recently in this church is with FriendSpeak and with the Living Waters. That's a big vision. Now, I know with FriendSpeak, Bruce has said several times it's been kind of slow getting going and stuff. But that's a big vision to have. And it's something that we've pushed for and pressed for. And that's good. Because if you only want to accomplish easy things, you won't accomplish many big tasks. So it's good to have a big vision. And I appreciate Bruce's pursuing that, and I, as well as Vernon Danette with the Living Waters. That's a big vision to have. And it's something that will require effort and thinking and purpose on our parts. Again, it has to involve actions, not aspirations. We all have aspirations of some kind, but until we take actions toward them, what good do we do? When Paul talks in Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit are not aspirations, they're measurable results. And so Jim can look at what I've done in 2018, and did I accomplish anything in regards to the fruits of the Spirit? Did I accomplish anything in helping encourage my community? Have I engaged in purposeful things with the church in order to encourage my fellow Christians that are walking with me? So, instead of saying I want to be healthy, I should say, well, I think I need to work out a couple times a week. Instead of saying I want to be a better husband, perhaps I should say I want to take an annual weekend away with my wife. Or maybe I should do dishes a couple times a week and help her with her tasks. You can't just be a better husband, but I can do things across my day that will make me a better husband. Those are actions. Those are things that need to be done. And the final thing is this idea about the habits of resistance. And I'll explain that. Sometimes our struggle is not with habits that we want to do. Our struggle is with habits that we need to stop. We develop what we would probably normally call bad habits. How many of us have bad habits? You know, the problem with not being able to stop hitting the snooze button in the morning, that might not be the problem. The problem might be staying up too late so that you got to hit the snooze button. Sometimes we address problems that aren't really the issue. We need have other problems. We need to stop. Sometimes we don't engage in Bible reading because, well, there's just not enough time. Well, why is there not enough time? Are the things we're doing so important that we can't not do one of them? So we have patterns of good habits, patterns of bad habits. But embracing something is always the goal, but often resisting something else is the key habit that allows us to embrace the good things. Good habits are going to involve us and help us do good things. So as we go through this year, what is it that we need to change in our lives? What is it we need to spend more time doing? Well, as Paul said in Romans, the 12th chapter, we need to renew our minds. And how do we renew our minds? What does it mean to have a renewed mind? What is it that we have to work at in order to change what is happening? Now, I don't know. I think sometimes as I look at the way my life is set up, I think the first thing I need to look at is the fact that I don't want to change. I don't want to change. If we look at our own lives, what is it that inspires us to be different, to change? I remember I used to work with a guy that was a three-pack cigarette smoker a day. He'd been smoking since the Korean War. He was a smoker. And I remember one day, he had a doctor's appointment. And he came back. He says, the doctor told me if I don't stop smoking, I'm going to be dead in a year. And he quit. He quit. Now, I know that not everybody can do that, but he quit that day. He was grumpy as all get out for 6 months, but he quit. He was inspired to change his habits. So what is it that's going to inspire us to change our habits? What is it that is going to inspire us to be a better spouse? What is it that's going to inspire us to be a better Christian? Where does that inspiration come from? And I fear that for most of us, where it comes from is when we meet a crisis. We meet a crisis. And we say, what am I going to do? And unfortunately, most of the time our crises are built around things that I've already done. I've already mucked things up. And now I got to try and fix them. And usually by the time I get to that point, things are broken and it gets hard to fix. Sometimes the challenges we see before us, we can address early. But it takes effort. It takes thought. It takes action. And sometimes it takes encouragement from our fellow brothers and sisters. Because probably what's going to happen is we're going to fail. And if we don't have somebody coming behind us saying, you're doing good, you're doing right, and praying with us, encouraging us, if we don't have that, we're just going to be swallowed up by our failure. God gave us our fellow man. God gave us our brothers and sisters. He gave us the church, the formation for the church, that which is to encourage us in our walk, in our lives. And if we don't engage in that, what are we doing? I would like to close with an encouragement for you. And this encouragement, it may not work for you. It may not fit into things. But I want to encourage you to come back tonight. We have a small group that meets here. We have a devotional. We pray together. We share one another's burdens. We try to encourage each other in each other's walk each day. And I think that it's a new habit that you can develop. Because when people show up here on Sunday nights, it's an encouragement to me. When they share their burdens, they share their struggles, when they share their joys, as I know the Morrishes, you know, they were coming and they have a grandson. That's a joy that we can share with each other. Because really, families only work if we know one another. Families only work if we have a relationship. When one of my kids is struggling, the only way I can know is I have a relationship with them. I can see it. And the only way I can see it is I got to be around them. Or I can hear it because they tell me. It's the same thing with us here, folks. It's the same thing with us here. And I think that some of the works that are being done, some of the things that are going on, they're all great. But we all need to engage. And even if we don't participate in someone, we can encourage those that are. And we can help. But the first thing we need, each need, and I know I need, is the realization that I sin and fall short. That I need God's direction in my life. I need Jesus. I need him. And without him, I'm just flailing around. If you need prayers, if you need someone to help in any way, physical things, I hope that you can share that with us here today. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. And if you want to need prayers, you can come down. If you need to put Christ on in your life in baptism, we're here to do that as well. But we're here to help. If you'll come now while we stand and sing.